Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Hei. We're about 9 lines down, and we're up to Madua Shovava Amazeh. So what we've been talking about until now was limited to particular individuals. We were talking about the names of the Malachim and so on. But we saw before already that there were Dorot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at. And we haven't really gotten into the behavior of the man in the street. So now we want to move on to understand what was the psychology of the people at the time. So it says in Yirmiyahu, Madua shoveva ha'amazeh Yerushalayim mishuva nitzachat. That's a very interesting, because the word shoveva is generally understood as the idea of being wild, out of control. The Gemara is saying that it means that, but it comes from the word for giving answers always, teshuva. So when you always have an answer to whatever it is that's being said to you, that's exactly what shovavut is. Try to give tochacha to a teenager who's shovav. He always has an answer. So the idea over here is Klal Yisrael always has an answer. So that, says Rav, that's the point. So they always have these very powerful answers, you know. So Klal Yisrael, if any Navi would come along and say, come and do teshuva, so this is in Zechariah over here. So there's always an answer. What is the answer? Amar lehem Navi liYisrael, chizru b'teshuva. After all, avotechem shechatu heichanim. So this is what Zechariah says to them. Where are your fathers that were chayte? Look what happened to them. They're all dead. So they answered, yeah. And what about the Nevi'im that were telling them to do tshuva? They're dead too. They've been dead for hundreds of years. What are you going to prove to us? Everybody's dead. The Nevi'im shalochatu, heichanim, they're also dead. Shenemar, avotechem ayehem, v'anevi'im halolam yichyu. So the people answer the same thing with the Nevi'im. Amar lahem, so then Zechariah said to them, yes, but chazru v'hodu, they at least realized what they had done wrong, and they had charota, because it says, ach devorai v'chukai, asher tziviti et avotai ha'nevi'im, when they saw that this is actually what happened to them, then they went ahead and they accepted that this was true. So katzaf Hashem al avotechem, and they accepted it. So that's why it says in the end, Vayashuvu Vayamru, Kasher Zamam Hashem Tzvakot Lasot Lanu Kidrachenu, Uchima Alalenu, Kena Saitanu. So if they came about ultimately to recognize that, so then don't you think you should take a lesson from them instead of going through exactly what they went through and having to go and be made at the end? Why don't you do teshuva now before you have to go through this hell? So that's how it was that we understand the pusik, which otherwise is very, very strange. That's how Rav understands. Let me give you an example of the way that people used to act. Shmuel says, I'll give you another example, okay? We have in Yechezkel, forget about Zechariah. They apparently Boaz Sarah b'nei Adam v'yashuvu lefanav. So, I mean, we come into the middle of the conversation, but we can recreate what this conversation was by looking at the continuation of the Pesukim. So it says that people came, Mizikna Yisrael, to be Shoyal Hashem. Now, it doesn't say what it was exactly, but what we're saying is, look, they said to Yechezkel, you go and you daven for us. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts your tefillah, fine, but if not, he's basically telling us it's overs. I have nothing more to do with you, right? And therefore, they said to him, that was the tshuva nitzachat. They said to him, Evet shebechoro rabo, or isha shegersha ba'ala, klum yesh lezel zeklum. I don't understand what you would be telling us. If l'maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to throw us out into golos, give us over into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and refuses to accept your tefillot. So, I mean, let's just make it very clear right now. After a divorce, It's over. You can't start saying, well, you owe me this, you owe me that. I mean, there's loyalty. And what about my mitzvahs? And get out of here. What mitzvahs? There's no more mitzvahs. And the same thing is true of an eved. You sold the eved to somebody else. Don't come around now and tell us we have to do these mitzvahs. You're no longer the boss. You gave us over to Nebuchadnezzar. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Navi. So therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember what I said to Yeshayahu. Eize sefer kritutim mechem asher shalachtia. O mimi no shaya shemachati etchem lo. Really now, show me the divorce. You're claiming I divorced you? I don't know from any divorce. Your mother can show a divorce, meaning Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, who is the mother. There's no divorce. There's no sefer kritut. Show me a bill of sale that I sold you over to Nebuchadnezzar. It don't exist. Hein ba'avonatechem nimkartem u'befishechem shulcha imachem. It's only that this is a punishment for you, but it's not over. You still have the same relationship. V'hainu di'omar Resh Lakish, beautiful diuk. How do you explain the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls David HaMelech David Avdi, and then he turns around, and in Yirmiyahu, he calls Nebuchadnezzar Nebuchadnezzar Avdi? That's crazy. What, so it's the same thing? So remember where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I'm going to be calling in an Isholeach v'lakati et Nebuchadnezzar melach bavel avdi v'samti kisol mi'al avanim et so on and so forth, right? So how do you use the same word for David HaMelech and for Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha? Galui v'yadua lifnei mishamar v'haya olam shatidim Yisrael lomar kein. This discussion with Yechezkel was well known in advance by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these idiots are going to say that. Well, you sold us. Well, you divorced us. So he wanted to make sure. V'fichach ikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'kro avdo. That's why, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu, years before, calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant. So then when people say, well, you sold us. That's right. To my servant. You got it? So if my servant owns you, who really owns you? Eved lemi, nechasim lemi, okay? So, l'fichach ikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'kro avdo, to tell them, eved shekana nechasim, eved lemi, nechasim lemi, so who do you think really owns you? I never sold you to anybody else. You owe me all the mitzvahs you originally owned me. And this was the kind of stuff that we call shovav. Always have an answer, and it's all garbage. And we see clearly that this is, because we see at the end of Yechezkel's Taina, that this is what they had in mind. They just wanted to get out of mitzvahs. Because Yechezkel tells them, all right, guys, let me just tell you something. Ha'oleh aruchachem, what it is that you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. And I'm telling you right now, ha'yolo tiyeh, it's not going to happen, okay? This is like the way Rubio speaks all the time on the news. It's not going to happen. It's not gonna. What's not gonna happen? Asher atem omrim niyeh hagoyim kimishpachot haratzot lesharet eitz v'heaven. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like all of the goyim. Lead a life like that. I swear to you, Neum Hashem Elokim, im lo biyat chazaka uvizra netuya ubechem mashvacha. Listen, I'm telling you right now. I don't care what it's gonna take. It may take a yat chazaka. It may take a zra netuya, and it may take a lot of nuclear bombs. But in the end, emloch aleichem. It's whatever it's going to take, I am going to be your melech. Omer of Nachman. Man, that is the most wonderful thing I ever heard. This isn't a threat. It's a promise. Koki hai ritcha lirtach rachman. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do whatever he's got to do and get us out of this insane mess. V'lifrokin. If it means chemash v'cha, let it mean chemash v'cha. I'd much rather have that than have the current situation. And also, it says that I can also in Yeshayo, v'yisrola mishpat elohav yorenu. Very strange passage. Yisrola mishpat, so beat him up for the correct things to make him do, and let God teach him what to do. Meaning what? Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, look, here's what Yeshayahu is saying. He originally tells him, Amar Lehem David Yisrael, Chizru B'teshuvah. So they answered him which we see clearly from the words in the pasuk. It doesn't say it, but it implies it, that they said, we can't do teshuvah. Ein anu yecholim, yetzer hara shaleit banu. Basically, we're not under control. The yetzer hara is in charge. Amar lahem, yisro lamishpat. Well, do something with him. You can actually keep pushing him and force your yetzer hara, bend him into shape. Yisro yitzrechem. Amru lo, so they said to Yeshayo, look, Elohav yorenu. I mean, God made it, right? So let God tell the yetzer hara to stop messing up our lives. What are we supposed to do about it? You put this thing in us that makes us, it's the devil made me do it, and I'll put it on my t-shirt if I have to. Okay, so in other words, instead of listening to Yeshayahu's Chizru b'teshuvah, we've got a wonderful answer. Let God take care of it. He made the mess. Let him fix it. Okay, moving on to the next piece of the Mishnah. The next piece of the Mishnah, after talking about the three malachim, talks about the four hedyotot, four common people, Bilam, Doeg, Achitofel, v'Gehazi, who are all not going to have a chelik in Olam Haba. Why was Bilam called that name? What's the remez with Bilam? Bilam would mean below Am. The man had no real connections to anyone. Dover Acher Bilam Bilaam. He was Mibalbel, the people. That's, remember, the Lushan of the Mabul of Bilbel Atakol, Bila. That's the Bavel Shebala or Bilbel. So it's the same thing we're using over here. He confused Yisroel by getting all those girls out there and turning them on to Avodah Zarah, and that was why he was called Bilam, the Balaam. Or it could be that he's called. Also, others understand it, that he was with an ayin, that he swallowed them. See. Ben Ba'or, why is he called Ben Ba'or? Because he used to sleep with his donkey, Shaba al Ba'ir. So that's Ben Ba'or. Ba'or is your animals, your beasts. Tana. This Ba'or actually had different names. Hu Ba'or, Hu Kushan Rishatayim, Hu Lavana Arami. This Ba'or appears in many different guises. He's one of these strange meta-historical figures that we find scattered through Tanakh, in which the same type of person comes up again and again, and he becomes an archetype of a type of behavior. Same way we have Nimrod, can become Nebuchadnezzar later on. He could become Paro later on. So we talk about them as if they're the same person. Same thing is over here. Bilam ben Ba'or, Ba'or shows up as Lavana Arami, Ba'or shows up as Kushan Rishatayim, who was the king that went ahead and was the first one HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael over to. And there were three things, says the Gemara. So Kushan Rishatayim, Avad Shtei Rishayot B'Yisrael. So why do we call him Kushan Rishatayim? Because the same person, meaning that same archetype, was Achat Bimei Yaakov, where Lavan Bikesh Lakoratako, V'Achat Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, where over there it says that Hashem Masram gave over Klal Yisrael to Kushan Rishatayim at the beginning of Shoftim. And his real name was Lavan Ha'arami. Now, on the one hand, we find Bilam ben Ba'or. But every time that Bilam is saying over Nevias, he talks about Bino Ba'or. Nu'um, the Bilam is Bino Ba'or, which implies that actually the son was Ba'or, not the father was Ba'or. Which one is which? Omer, Rabbi Yochanan, they're both true. Aviv, his father, was his son in terms of Neviut. In other words, the real discoverer and archetype of a Navi among the Goyim was Bilam, even though he was the son. So the father is considered to be like a son in terms of a follower when it comes to Neviut. But Lamaisa, he was the father. Now, I'm very curious. Bilaam isn't Jewish, right? So, I mean, why is he included here in the Mishnah? The implication is that there's no difference between Jews and non-Jews in terms of Olam Haba. And we're listing people that don't have Olam Haba. So Bilaam doesn't have Olam Haba because of his particular Rishut. But the fact that he was not Jewish, that apparently has nothing to do with whether he has the Chelek in Olam Haba or not, because otherwise, why are we singling him out? So Davka Bilaam, hu delo atile alma da'ate. But that would mean that any other goy who wasn't a Rasha like that, ha'achrinu otu. But then, I mean, the Mishnah had said, kol Yisrael yeshlep chelek l'olam haba, which was mashma, that it's only Yisrael. Okay, so that we can explain away by saying that it's actually the way the Rambam paskins. The Rambam says, chasideu moto olam yeshlep chelek l'olam haba. So if you're talking about Yisrael, over there it's called Yisrael. If you're talking about the Umais, it's only Hasidei Umais HaOlam, those who are mekabel on themselves, Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and keep those Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach because of the fact that it was given on Har Sinai by Moshe Rabbeinu that they were meant to keep it. That's how the Rambam explains it, fine. But who is the Mishnah going according to? Because not everybody holds that. It's going to leave the Rabbi Yoshua, the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yashuvu Rishaim Lisha'ola, Kol Goyim Shechechei Elohim. Rishaim can go back to hell. All of the Goyim, those who forget God. So, I understand the Pasuk says Rabbi Yeshua like this. Yashuvu Rishaim Lisha'ola, that's referring to Poshe Yisrael, who were given a chelik in Olam Haba, messed it up, and therefore they go back to Sha'ol. But kol goyim shechechei Elohim, ela ovdei kochavim. Take out that word poshe ovdei kochavim, which obviously destroys the entire pshat in the sugya, and it was clearly thrown in there in order to avoid problems with the goyim. But it's obviously the opposite garrison. Anybody intelligent immediately understands that that's just there to confuse the goyim. They think it's dafka poshe. Because that's the whole point of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer is making. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Mash Enkin Rabbi Yeshua says, excuse me, it doesn't say the Chol Goyim, it says Chol Goyim Shechechei Elohim. So what are you telling me? All the Goyim are supposed to be going to Sha'ol. Only those Goyim are Shechechei Elohim? Ella, the correct way to read the Pasuk is Yashuvu Rishaim L'Sha'ola. Who are these Rishaim? All over the world, those who are Shechechei Elohim, Kol Goyim Shechechei Elohim, which puts everyone into the same category. Therefore, if we want to talk about an archetype of someone who doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba, it would be Bilaam. It's Bilaam, but Bilaam is a goy. So what? According to Rabbi Yoshua, the goy can serve as an archetype of the Kol Goyim Shechechei Elohim. What's wrong with that? Fine. Truth is that Bilaam himself recognizes this problem of whether or not he's going to be Zechut Olam Haba, because he made a siman for himself. What does he say? Tomot nafshi mot yisharim utiach ritam komot. So what does that mean? Im tomot nafshi mot yisharim. So if I die the death of good people, upstanding people, meaning that I'll die in my bed. Fine, that's a sign that I have a schus to be in Olam Haba. Tiach riti komo. But im lav, like he says later on himself, when he gives this eitzah to destroy Yisrael, so there he realizes he's finished. Hineni holech la'ami, I'm going to go back to the Rishayim, and I realize now I'm not going to have an end like that. And in fact, he was killed. He did not die on his bed. So the whole parsha of Bilaam begins, strangely, with the Ziknei Moav and the Ziknei Midian coming together to beg Bilaam to come and to curse Yisrael. Now, the truth is that Ziknei Moav and Ziknei Midian were bitter enemies. Tana, Midian u Moav lo hayalehem shalom meolam. Hamakeh et Midian. They were Bistei Moav. They were always fighting each other. And now all of a sudden they're coming. Well, yes. Marshal Snake Levine, Shaul Be'eder. So these two dogs. These two dogs were the watchdogs for a particular flock of sheep. And they're always competition. They hate each other. They're constantly fighting with each other. Comes along one day, a wolf now attacks one of them. So the other one, who's the enemy, said, look, if I don't help my enemy out over here, this wolf is going to get him. The next day he's going to come to get me. So just for my own self-preservation, let's get together on this. So they got together to kill the Zeb. Same thing is true over here. You've got the two big enemies of Midian and Moab. But what can we do? The Jews are certainly our common enemy. So even the Sunnis and the Shiites can get together if it's to kill Jews. And then they spend the rest of their time killing each other. Look, there's another Rav Papa saying. Every single sugya has got Rav Papa telling us. So what's the popular saying for this one? Well, karkushta v'shunra avdu hilula mitarba de bishgada. Look, the weasel and the cat, you put a weasel and a cat together, they're ready to kill each other. Dr. Barry could tell us what happened the last time he brought a weasel into the house. Cat went bananas. So they never get together. And they, nonetheless, they made a wedding. And what was the menu at the wedding? The tarba de bishgada. It was the fat of the one who had the bad luck of getting into their way. So they both ganged up and killed him. Then they make a big party. So what happened? They asked them. And Bilam says, look, you know what? Stay overnight. So linu po halayla. And tomorrow morning, I'll let you know what God said, right? So it says, vayishvu sarei Moab im Bilam. Why only sarei Moab? First it said, sarei Moab and sarei Midian came together. When he tells them to stay the night, the sarei Midian disappeared. Where did they disappear to? Because the moment he said to them, linu po halayla vahashivoti etchem davar. So the Midianim were intelligent enough to say, if this guy expects to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should I go and curse the Jews? It's ridiculous. How you want to go and curse the Jews? Don't ask permission, you idiot. You have to go and do it. Obviously, you're not going to get permission. Forget it. We're out of here. Kulumi esh avzis unayet beno. You have a father who hates his child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell him, yeah, go ahead and kill. Of course, ridiculous. So they left. Omer Ibn Nachman, one amazing thing you see from here is that if you got enough chutzpah, you always get your way, even if it's against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bilam, no, absolutely not. Don't curse them. Well, you know, the next night he's back again. Maybe this is the way we should curse them. Or maybe we just need better people to curse. All right, the heck with it, go, right? So me korektiv lote lechi mayhem, ulabisov ktiv kum lechi tam. All right, go with them. Omrev sheshes, the truth is, you know what they say? That chutzpah is essentially to be a malchuta below tagahi. You become the king. All you're missing is the crown. You don't get a crown just for having chutzpah, but you end up achieving everything that the melech can do. As a matter of fact, as David HaMelech points out, the people can be stronger than the king. Because what does he say? Vanochi ayom rach umashuach melech v'hanashim ha'ele b'nei tzruya kashim mimeni. It's an amazing pasuk. So David had gotten together with Avner. Everything was great. And now comes along Yoav ben Tzruya. These are B'nai Tzruya. B'nai Tzruya is because Yoav and his brother Asael, in a sense, got together to kill Avner because they hated him, because he had killed Asael. So this is amazing. Here, the melech has made a deal, and the general goes ahead and kills the person with whom he made the deal, causing an incredible disaster. David HaMelech had to go after the Mita, and so it was like unbelievable. So David says, why doesn't he actually do something about it? He says, they're stronger than me. The B'nai Tzur'im, I am Mashuach Melech, but I am Rach. I'm still young. I'm still a beginner. I'm still green behind the ears, and I'm soft, and I don't know how to deal with it. These guys are much tougher than I am. A king saying they're tougher than I am? Yes. It's like Harry Truman said, poor Ike. He's used to giving orders and having people actually do them. Wait till he becomes president and finds out he's got no power. Okay, it's just the same idea. That's the difference between Trump as a Rach Mashuach Melech, where he couldn't get anything done, or where he's got all the chutzpah himself. He realized the only way to really be a king is to use chutzpah, is to do whatever you want. Nobody knows what to do about it. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bil'am chiger bragoa chataya. Bil'am ended up limping on one foot. Shenemar vayelech shefi. He was so committed to going and to making sure that that klola would work against Yisrael. He was walking all over the place with Balak, even though he had crushed his leg along the road, because it says that the Asan had pushed him into the fence. Shimshon, he was b'shtei raglav. He limped on both feet. Shenemar shefifona leorach. One is just shefi. Shefi is the sense of shof midurte. Shof midurte, remember we had in Chulin? Buka da atma de shof midurte. One of the trefas, the dislocation of you pull out the buka da atma. So that's the thigh bone. Shimshon was all the time in pain, being a shvifon ale yorach, in order to save Yisrael. Bil'am was also suma ba'achat me'inat. He was blind in one eye because he says, shesum ha'ayin, meaning he only has one eye in that's open. Shesum does not mean satum, as Rashi says. It's a ridiculous pshat. Shesum ha'ayin means the one with the open eye. And kosem ba'amatoaya. He used to always use his penis. We saw this before. The idea of being Mala Ba'amosai, that's the type of thing he used to do, his magic with. K'tiv Acha, where do we see that it's penile? Well, it says Gofel Glui Naim. So he calls himself a Nofel. Now, we find the same word Nofel when it says Haman Nofel Al Hamita, and over there he's immediately accused of wanting to rape the queen in the house of the king. So obviously, Nofel has some sexual element. So this is a phallic type of magic that he used to do. And Itmar Marzutra Omar, Marzutra's got another place to show that it was a phallic thing, because he was a kosem ba'amato haya, and Marbaret Ravina says, talking about penises, I mean, he was the Baal Atono. That's actually the main point that we want to make about phallic types of behavior. That we brought a raya. I think we, did I forget one of them? Yeah, I forgot one of them. Said Nofel? No, I didn't forget. No, it's Rabbi Yochanan who brings another raya. Okay, Simandi Omar Baal Atono says that the idea of a year of Nofel is a reference to intercourse. Where do we see that? Because by Bil'am it says, this makes no sense, and because of it, the Gra actually changes it. The pasuk that's brought here in the Gemara is Bein Raglea Shachab, but that has nothing to do with Nofel, because this is referring to a pasuk that we have, Karasha Chav Ka'ari Uchilavi Miyakimenu. That pasuk is Karasha Chav Yisrael was Karasha Chav. So how could that be a reference to Bil'am? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gra changes the pasuk to Nofel Ugluye Naim, and that it's a drasha on Nofel, because it says over here, Bein Raglea Kara Nafal Shachat. So the reference to Yael, who did actually seduce Sisera, so that was, so to speak, a phallic rite, it uses the word Nofel there. Then Bilam claims that he is a Yodea Da'at Elyon, the continuation of this. So the person who's Nofel, Gilui Einayim, and he's Yodea Da'at Elyon, he knows the mind of God. Now, how the heck could an idiot who isn't even Yodea Da'at Behemto, I mean, that's in the have insight. You're talking about a theory of mind? Is that what you're talking about? I mean, this guy doesn't have a theory of mind of a donkey. Don't tell me he's got a theory of mind of God. I mean, this is insane. He gets into a fight with his donkey that makes him look worse and worse with every word, and he can't figure out, like, how the donkey's going to respond, right, to what it is that he's saying. So the idiot, instead of letting the donkey get away with one simple statement, right, he starts arguing. And the more he argues, the more of a fool he looks. So take a look at the pasuk, okay? What do we mean when we say he has no theory of mind of a donkey? Because the people that were there, we said the Midian had already left, but the people from Moab were there. So they asked Bilam, hey, how come you're driving a VW when you could be driving a Mercedes? So what are you riding on a donkey for if you could have a horse? Oh, yeah, but he says, my Mercedes is actually in the garage for the day. So, Shadailu Beretiva. I put the horse out to pasture, get a little fat, and I don't have time to go get him. So the donkey says, what? Hello, Anochi Atoncha. I'm your favorite donkey. How could you say that? Now, if he would have just shut up at that point, life wouldn't have been so bad. But no, he's got to respond. So, trying to shut her up, he says, yeah, that's just Latina Ba'alma. You know, it's true that I used you for all these years to carry all the garbage. Yes, that's true. Excuse me, says the donkey. Asherachavtalai, you've been riding on me. Yeah. Akroy Ba'alma, there are times where I had to put horsey out where I would get on you. What do you mean, says she? Why, it's been this way from the very beginning. And, I mean, to claim that we have no relationships? I mean, we've got a very lovey-dovey relationship, don't we? I make you so happy at night by being your wife. Look at the lotion that the donkey uses. Did I ever act in this way? What a strange way to say, have I ever been used to acting this way? I mean, I don't know. The only other place that we find that lotion is Vatehilov Sochenet. Yeah, we were talking about Avishag HaShunamit. Avishag HaShunamit. She is a sochenet. So obviously a sochenet is at least a nice, warm, sensual, sexy kind of companion. So if this donkey claims that she is the equivalent of Avishag HaShunamit, I mean, they must have something going on between them, right? And if he had shut up, I mean, this is quite embarrassing. So if he had shut up and he really had a theory of mind, he would have understood what he's going to end up getting her to say. So that shut him up. What does he say? No. Okay. Forget it. I've got enough. Anyway, so how could he say he's a Yodea Da'at Elyon where he doesn't even have a theory of mind for his own donkey? So what does he mean when he says Yodea Da'at Elyon? He had one trick, and that was Shaya Yodea Lechaveno Ta Sha'a Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Ko'ez Ba. He knew how to find the exact instant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, and at that moment, he was able to take advantage of the anger and to curse someone. So, V'ayinu T'karmelu Navi L'Yisrael. That's why the Navi says, Ami, Zichor Na Ma Ya'atz Balak Melech Moab, Uma Anato Bil'am Ben Be'or, Minashitim Ada Gilgal, Laman Da'at Sitkot Hashem. You want to know how much I care about you guys? That any time during the time that Bilam was around, I was careful never to get angry at you, only to be good and in a good mood, even though we know that there were Avodah Zarah that was done, even in Gilgal, never mention a word. So what does that mean? It means you can realize how much I care. L'man da tzidkot Hashem, amar lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, de'u, kama tzidakot asiti imachem, shelo ka'asti kol otan hayamim, bimei Bilam HaRasha. I never got angry at you so long as Bilam HaRasha was arrived. Shelo malai ka'asti kol otan hayamim, lo nishtayer misoneim shel Yisrael, saridu falit. If I'd ever gotten angry, he would have immediately taken advantage of that anger. There wouldn't have been a single one of you that was left. So remember how it was that I protected you. I declined to come like Bilam the Balak. And that's why Bilam says to Balak, look, I can't curse them. Ma'akov lo kabo el. I mean, every time I try to curse them, I find out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has changed the norms and he hasn't gotten angry. So I don't have any opening. So clearly he refuses to curse them. El zo'im b'chol yom. So in fact, it says b'ferish in Tehillim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have a time in which every day there's anger. V'kama z'amo. Now the point of that is that it is not something that is that you can actually define as to why and to what. It's random, and it just seems to be there as part of an opening to the world to absolute randomness. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be in, so to speak, complete control of himself and of his midas, then we would never see what looks to us like complete randomness in his anhaga. So there's always that opening, to which of course is the idea of the carry of Amalek. It's the Shechva Zera Roteach of Bilam. It all comes from randomness that comes from recognizing the El Zo'im B'chol Yom. Now that opening is almost just an instantaneous. How much is this Zam? Kama Zamo? That Zam is for one moment. Rega. Shenemar ki rega biapo, but chayim is birtzono. But there's another pasuk. But the other pasuk is, lecha mi, bo bechadarecha, usgor delatecha ba'adecha, chavi kimat rega ad yavor za'am. So what does that mean? That means if you hide out just for that one instant, until the anger passes, the za'am passes. So we see that there is a time of anger, and we see that that time is a rega. Now, when in the day would that happen? Well, what happened during the first 3 hours of the day? Betlat sha'e kamaita, ki chavra karbalta de tanagula. And that's when the rooster comb turns pale. What do you mean, turns pale? Koshata v'shata nami chavra. It's always palish. No. There's parts of it that are bright red, right? Anybody's looked at a rooster's comb, called shaita v'shaita. It's red, but it is red with streaks of red, suraike sumki. But ahi shaita, there's an instant where you don't even see those bright streaks of red. It just looks pale all over. And that's that instant where there are no suraike shaita sumki. Now, there was a certain guy that used to drive Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi crazy. And he was a tzeduki. He used to make up all of these crazy, maybe he was even a Christian. He used to drive him nuts with his missionary kind of diukim, you know. This is a reference to a virgin birth. This is a reference to God's changing Yisrael for somebody else, and so on and so forth. He had no kayak anymore. He was Avika Mitzayer, right? So he decided, okay, I got to get rid of this guy. So Rabbi Yeshua takes a tarnagol, ties it to the foot of his bed, and Osiv, he's saying, okay, I'm going to look at it, and the moment that I see that instant where it turns whitish, kimata ushaita, I will curse this guy, and then he'll drop dead. Anyway, at the very moment that that happens, turns out he had fallen asleep for a minute. So Rabbi Yeshua said, well, that seems to be a simon. Shmamina lav urachara, it's not their heretz to go and to cause a klola on somebody else, even if it's a mean. Dichtiv gam anosh letzadik lotov. Causing someone else to get an onesh for a person who's a tzaddik is inappropriate. So because of that, I fell asleep. Afilo b'mini lo'i b'ayle l'meimar hoche. So that seems that even to punish someone who's a min, it's inappropriate to use it in the sense of a klola. Tana mishmeida Rebbe Meir, the reason that it's in those 3 hours is because that's the time that the kings, we said, are getting up, and that's b'sha'ash ha'chamaz zorachat, v'amalachim menichin kitrein ha'rashiyan, u'mishtachavim l'chaman. So you've got all of these kings, and they're getting dressed, and they're wearing the crowns on their heads, and they're all going off to church, and they bow to the sun. That is just ridiculous, and that miyad koes, that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu triggers his kaz. Anyway, getting back to Bilam. So it says, he gets up early in the morning, Vayakom Bilam baboker vayachavosh et atono, and he saddles up his donkey. Tana mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. You see from here, ahava mevatela tshura shel gedula. Love will make people do things that break through what they wouldn't do for themselves, they'd have other people do. Where do we see that? From Avram Avinu. It says exactly the same words. Vayashkim Avraham baboker, and vayach boshet at, obviously not an aton, but he had chamor, the same thing. One is female, one is male, but he went ahead and he saddled up his own donkey. So instead of having one of his servants, the nar, do it, he actually does it all by himself. Which means he wakes up early in the morning, like Rabbanea, jumps up, and now he is saddling that Gemara to his face. We saw before that it's like a saddle, that it's okef alipiu, so that he saddled up early in the morning out of pure love. But we find that hatred does the same thing. Sina mivatela tshurasha gedula. If you hate something enough, you just want to do it on your own. Whatever you can do. Mi Bilam, the same thing. Vayokom Bilam baboker v'yachboshet atono. He does the same thing Avram Avinu does. Wakes up early in the morning in order to saddle up his aton.
That's why stirrups happen to be saddle.
I'll work on it throughout the day, Reb Barnea, and hopefully we'll understand later. And as you can see, even Ori gets up out of pure love for the Daf Yomi. No other reason why an infant would get up in the morning, of course. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. Lo'olam yasok adam b'torah u'b'mitzvah afilu shelo lishma. What do we see from this whole story? That a person, even if he's doing it for the wrong reasons, should be oisek in Torah and mitzvahs, because ultimately, mitosh shelo lishma bat lishma. Now, the way that this is generally understood, and it's given over as a folk pshat, which doesn't really have any mocha, is that if a person learns shelo lishma, then that learning itself will ultimately become lishma. However, from this Gemara, we see it means something totally different. Because how do we learn out mitosh shelo lishma balishma? Shebischar 42 korbanot shikriv Balak, zachav yatsa mimenu rut. Since Balak brought these 42 korbanas, every time that Bilam said, let's bring another 7 korbanas and try to curse the the Bnei Yisrael. So he did these Shiva Mizbechot three times he did. That means that on each one of them, he brought up a par and an ayah. So that equals 42 karbanas. Now, he certainly wasn't bringing those karbanas in order to create David HaMelech. He was trying to destroy David HaMelech. And in fact, that was the whole Bilam keeps talking about, you know, oy vavoy, let me tell you what this bum is going to be doing to you people. And it's a disaster. You got to get rid of this David HaMelech, the Kochav Miyakov, and he's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to us Goyim. And nonetheless, what happens? Because of the schus of those 42 karbonas, Zachav Yatza Mimenu Rut, the mother of David HaMelech, ends up coming from none other than these Maisim of Eglon. Amar Rabbi Yosi Baruna, Rut was Bito Shel Eglon, and Eglon was a grandson of Balak. So that means that ultimately Balak fathered Ruth, who ultimately is the mother of David. Incredible. Now that obviously is not Shelo Lishma in the sense of Limut Shelo Lishma, and it doesn't mean that those behaviors of Balak turned into behaviors Lishma. So what does it mean? It means that a Maisa, which ultimately is Misharet and Aveda, a Maisa of Mitzvah, is ultimately going to bear fruit, correct kind of fruit. If even Eglon ends up bearing the correct kind of fruit by bringing karbonas for the opposite purpose. So imagine if you're learning Shelo Lishma, it should also be something that ultimately is going to bear fruit. It's kedai to do it. So actually, the Mefarshim should come to explain. I hope I have an audience over here. I just don't see anybody. Barnea is fast asleep, you know. And even Ori is more interested in her boost bottle today than in the daf. And I don't know who am I talking to. All right. I saw Menachem on the phone before. Don't fool me, buddy. But okay. Once in a while we get a wave. I'm happy. All right. Oh. Now we have in Dvorah's van, we've got some serious listeners, let me tell you. Oh my gosh, Lavi wants to be able to participate. Excellent. And of course, Richie, he's always ready. So I don't know if it's worthwhile. Of course, we've got Ari, who's Moser Nefesh this morning, to be there for every last word and to begin. So, okay, that is encouraging. So then I will say my pshat. Remember the famous Rabbeinu Tam, who says that this is not the case for someone who is loymed amanat lekanter, because Tosus asks from another Gemara that says somebody who is loymed shelo lishma mutav lo shiyitaper shul yato al panav, would have been better if his own afterbirth had strangled him. Why, if lo olam yasok shelo lishma, why would it be better for him to be strangled? So Tosfos says, because we're talking about over here only Shelo Lishma in the sense, I'm learning in order for me to get more boost in the morning, let's say, right? Or I'm learning, Tosfos's answer really didn't discuss boost. He talked about giving yourself a boost, meaning he wants to be known as a rabbi and they should call me Rebbe and make me a big Rosh Hashiva. And so on. You notice the biggest Rosh Hashiva that we have in all of history at 130,000 Talmidim, and Chizkiyo was very worried that this guy is the big Rosh Hashiva, and it didn't turn out to be all that meaningful that you got the biggest yeshiva in town. So I don't know why people take it so seriously. But in any event, please, Shevna, please give us an answer, right? Anyway, so the question is, as Tosus explains, it depends what we mean. If you're learning for one-upmanship and you're only learning Amanat Kanter, so then you should be strangled. But if you're learning just to be called a Rav, that's okay. In the end, it will become Lishma. That's not such a problem. So everyone asks, according to this Gemara, that we're talking about two different things. We're talking about the act, and we're talking about the person. If we're saying that every act ends up, if it's an act of a mitzvah, an act of aveda, it's going to end up achieving something, so then what's the problem? The person is a bum for doing what he's doing. I mean, obviously, Bullock was a bum. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Chorna Maya Atz. I mean, obviously, he's a no goodnik. But why is that akasha on the fact that good things can come from no goodniks? So the answer is that Tosis's kasha over there was only from the words of La'olam Ya'asok. La'olam Ya'asok means we're telling you this is what you should be doing. But if it's mutav lo sheyetaper sheyato al panav, then it's not what you should be doing. That's his kasha. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So we finished that? Toshel al shvat? Yeah. Omar le rava le rabba bar mori. K'tiv. Now this is going to be, it's a little hard to explain. It's going to be nogea ar sugya, except for the unfortunate fact that our Gemara leaves out the part that's going to be nogea ar sugya. So the only way we know that it's going to be nogea ar sugya is because this sugya appears exactly the same in three different places, and this is one of them, except here it leaves out the segue to the sugya that we had before. So it's a little bit confusing. But okay, but the Barasha explains what the words that are missing. So Omer le Rava le Rabba bar Mori. It says over here, Yetev Elohim et Shem Shlomo Mishmecha, that the Avonim of David HaMelech came in, and they said after the Malchus was given to Shlomo and everybody brought Shlomo down and they made him king, that people are saying, you know, instead of being Mekabel Adoniyahu, people are saying, may your son Shlomo Malchus be greater than yours. V'yigadel kis'o mikis'echa. I don't understand, says Rava to Rabba Bamori. Is it really appropriate to say something like that? I mean, why would you be telling a king he should have a greater kingdom than you? That seems to be insulting, isn't it? Omar Le, so Rabba Bar Mori said, that's because you don't understand the Pusik. The Pusik, when it says, mi kis'echa, doesn't mean greater than, it means from. From means that the greatness of your son Shlomo shall be derived from the greatness of your Malchus, so that everyone will see that it's a continuation of what he learned from you, and so on. That's what it means. So it means me'ein. It should be not greater than, but should have in it elements that are great in you. So me'ein ka'amrale. Because if that's not the way you understand the word me', how do you explain the fact that Dvorah, when she's talking about Yael, who seduced Sisera and ends up killing Sisera, she says about her, Tevorach minashim Yael, eshet chever hakeni. So, this brocha on Yael shall be minashim ba'ohel Tevorach, which sounds like she should be blessed beyond the blessing of the women in the Ohel. And the women in the Ohel is a reference to Nashim Bo Maninu, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. You're telling me that it's really appropriate for Dvorah to be saying that Yael should be given a bracha greater than the Imahos. And that's not appropriate. Urachara Lame Marachi. So what must it mean? May Nashim Bo Ohel. That it should be me'ein ka'amar, that from the type of hanhaga of greatness, concern for Klal Yisrael, tzniut, even though people will put down what she was doing in terms of seducing this Sisera, she's saying, no, it's actually me'ein the emos. That's what it must mean. It can't mean more than the emos. Hachanami me'ein ka'amar. Fine, that must be what it means. But, interestingly enough, it is not necessarily what it means, because this we just said is the opposite of the way Rabbi Yossi Bar Choni explained it. He says that Bechol Adam Mitkanei Chutz Mibno V'Talmido. People are jealous of everyone. The only one they're not jealous of is their own son or their own Talmud. How do we know this? Bno, we know from this story of Shlomo that they came in and they said, he should be greater than you. So what do you see? It literally means he should be greater than you. So we have a raya. Of course, that means that Rabbi Yossi Bar Choni does not understand the pasuk to mean me'ein. He understands it to mean literally, me greater than Kisaka, right? And how do we know a person is not jealous of a Talmud? Either we learn it from the fact that Elisha found it appropriate to say, to say to Elio, V'hina pishnayim baruch ha-chaylai, I need to be two times as great a Navi as you. I mean, like, that's not nice. What do you mean, two times? I mean, that's crazy. So you would only say such a thing if, on the contrary, that would make you proud and you'd be happy. Then you could say it. And we find the same thing, Yibayzema, we find it from Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu is told that he's supposed to choose Yoshua ben Nun, kach lechot Yoshua ben Nun, ish asher ruach bo, and what should you do? V'samachta et yadecha alav. Put your hand, one hand. What does Moshe Rabbeinu actually do? What he actually does is v'yismoch et yadav alav v'yitzaveu. He puts two hands on him, as if to say, give him everything. Gadush, malay, more than I needed to give over. You see, obviously, that a person wants and is happy to see that someone, if it's a Talmud, should be greater than him. Vayosem davar befi bil'am. Now, what does this have to do with the sugya before? So as the Marshal points out, the same sugya that occurs in the Nazir and occurs in Hurias, it has exactly this discussion in the same context, but it adds one line which makes all the difference in the world, which is that it brings a raya that godol avera lishma mi mitzvah shelo lishma. So since it says that the bracha is given by Dvora to Yael, Eishes Chevrake, what's the bracha for? For seducing Sisra? You give a bracha? Yes, because an avera that is done for the proper reason deserves that kind of bracha. That's the point. So that connects it back to the pasuk that we had before. Minashim tevorach. That's why we bring it over here. Anyway, continuing on. Vayasem davar befi vil'am. So it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu put something into Bilam's mouth. Now, what was that something? He puts something into his mouth and sends him back to answer Balak. What's the something? Rabbi Elazar says it was a malach, so that when Bilam would open up his mouth, it wasn't his words that were coming out. It was that hidden malach that was talking. Rabbi Elazar says a malach, but Rabbi Yonason says, what kind of malach? It was a fish hook. Every time he opened up his mouth to say something, he was turned into a marionette. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pulling on the mouth. Hop, 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 hop. This is what you're going to say. And there was, he had to say it. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you know, if you look carefully at the things that he ends up saying, which were all utilized by this thing in his throat, whatever the thing was, you can see what he really wanted to say, whether it was changed by the AI in his throat, or it was changed by the fishhook in his throat, but this is what he wanted to say. Because b'birchato shel oto rasha, ata lamed mahaya b'libo. What did he really want to say? B'kesh lomar, shelo yu lahem batei knesiot u'batei midrashot. He wanted to get rid of all of the batei midrashos in Yisrael and the batei knesiot. Instead, what did he have to say? That energy was converted into Ma Tovu O'alecha Yaakov. What are the O'alim? The O'alim are Batei Knesset and Batei Midrashot. He wanted to say, Lo Tishrei Shechina Aleihem. the Shechina should not be with the Jews. Instead, what did he have to say? U'mishkinotecha Yisrael. The Mishkan is referring to the Mishkan and referring to the Beis HaMikdash and to Shiloh and to the Mikdash HaSheni and Shlishi. That's what he was trying to say. He wanted to say, may they not have a long-lasting government. Lotei malchutan nimshechet. Instead, what does he have to say? Kinechalim natayu. They keep going like streams. You can't get rid of this Netanyahu guy for now. No. The Malchus keeps going along. He wanted to say, lo yulam zeitim uchramim. They should have no vineyards, and they should have no olive trees. Instead, what did he have to say? Nah, kiganot alei nahar. They're living like gardens by a river, so obviously you're going to have all the best kind of trees. Lo yerech an nodef. May they not have a beautiful smell, which means a like we've learned in many places, that shame is smell. That's pheromones. So may they not be known with beautiful smells for wonderful mitzvahs and anhagas. Instead, what did he have to say? Ke'ahalim nata Hashem, like the aloes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself planted, the most fragrant. Lo yulei malachim ba'alei koma. They shouldn't have any really powerful kings that people are impressed with. Instead, it was transformed into ka'arazim alei mayim, like cedar trees, very, very powerful. Lo yelem melech ben melech. They shouldn't have any type of dynasty. Instead, what did he have to say? Yizal mayim midolyo, which is the continuing, long-lasting malchus based David. Lo tehi malchutan shaletet b'umot. He wanted to say, may they have no power over the goyim. Instead, what did he have to say? Vizaro b'mayim rabim. All over the world, we find these Jews. He wanted to say, Lote azamalchutan. It shouldn't have any great strength. He had to say, Vayoro me Agag malko. It was greater than the malchus of Agag. He wanted to say, Lote mat malchutan. There should be no sense of awe to their malchus. He had to say, Vatina se malchuto. Omer Baba Barkana, yes, it's all true that this is what he wanted to say, and it was artificially changed to something else, but you know what? Kulam chazu leklala, his initial intent ended up becoming real, because all of those klalot actually came true. We ended up without powerful malchus, we ended up without having a good reputation, and so on. We ended up with our trees and our orchards and our chromium destroyed and so on. The only one that wasn't actually Mekuyam was the one that he wanted to take away, Bate Knesset and Bate Midrashot. That was actually never Mekuyam, and instead HaKadosh Baruch Hu had switched it to permanent good. And you could see that in the Pasuk. Kulam chazru leklala. The only one that we find historically was not Mekuyam, was the fact that Yisrael always had Bate Knesset and Bate Midrashot. And we can see this in the Pasuk, because there when it says Ami Zichorna, so it says Vayafoch Hashem Elokech Lecha et HaKilala Levracha. It doesn't say Vayafoch et HaKlalot Levrachot. So there was only one Klala that was completely transformed into a Bracha. And that was Batovu Alecha Klala, but not Kilalot. Now, if you want to take a look at the type of things that people had to say that was against Klal Yisrael, and if I Bilam it turned into a bracha, but by Achia HaShiloni, where he had to say the terrible things that were going to happen to Klal Yisrael, and he had to give over the Malchus to Yeravam, as we were talking about 2 days ago, if you take a look and you set the brachas of Bilam side by side with the klolos of Achia HaShiloni, it turns out that the Achia HaShiloni klolos are better than those brachas. Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Reb Yonatan. What is the meaning of that beautiful pasuk in Mishlei ne'amanim pitzei ohev. It's something that you can trust and be happy with when your friend beats the heck out of you. But na'tarot nishikot soneh. It's an awful feeling when you're being covered with kisses by somebody who hates your guts. What is that referring to? Tovak lala shekilel achi ashiloni et Yisrael yoter mibracha shebirchem bilam harasha. Better were the curses that achi ashiloni said about Klal Yisrael than the brachas that Bilam gave him. Take a look. Achi ashiloni compares Yisrael and his klala to a kona, to a reed that is easily blown. So what does he have to say? That Yerovam, this is what he did. He brought Klal Yisrael to Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them the way you blow about in a flood a kaneh. Okay, what is a kaneh like? Think about that. A kaneh grows in Amokomayim. And gizo machlif. Doesn't matter if you cut a kaneh, it grows back immediately. Because of the fact that it grows in water, it has extremely strong roots. You try to pull it out by the roots, it's almost impossible because it has to be omid b'mayim. So shirashav merubim. Okay, so think about what it means when you curse something and say it's like a reed. Afilu kol ruchot shebo'olam ba'ot v'noshvot bo. Ein mezizot oto mimekomo. No matter how many winds come from all over the world, they can't. They move it an inch. All that it does is it, yeah, it moves back and forth with the wind. And the moment the wind stops, up pops the reed, just as good as it was before. Kivan shedomimu aruchot amat kanet bimikomo, like it always was. The Bilam HaRasha compares Klal Yisrael to, oh, ka'arazim. Yeah, okay. An erez does not grow in a water, sharashav mulatim, it does not have very deep roots, and once you cut it, engizo machlif, it does not grow back. So, yes, the winds come, you're right, it's a very powerful tree. Ein mezizoto tomi mekomo, it stands strong. But the moment a tornado comes, out it goes, boom. So kimon shenosh ba ruach dromit miyado karato rips it out of the ground ufachato apanav, and it's sitting there with its dead roots. So according to Bilam, that's what he wanted Klal Yisrael to be. Yeah, be very powerful, but when you're brought to the ground, you'll never get up again. And don't forget, being compared to a reed means that they write Sifrei Torah with you, because reeds are good, very good for being pens. So zocha kone lito mimenu kumus lichtov mimenu sefer Torah neviim uksuvim. So it's even a remez to the kedusha of Yisrael, in which they'll be blown about like the kone, but they're always sitting there with their sefer Torah.